Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. I'm just going to quieten my voice for a moment because the lady is trying to advise us that the grounds are closing in approximately 15 minutes, and that is because we're recording this podcast very late into the night, our David and myself, because we've been on centre court on day five of Wimbledon 2017 watching Andy Murray and Fabio Fognini battle it out for four sets. It felt like about 10 sets. How Andy Murray won through that, I've no idea. How it didn't go to five,
yeah, well,
I've
that's,
no idea.
That's the bigger point. I think we were talking, you and I, midway through the fourth set when, frankly, Fabio Fognini was toying with Andy Murray. He was playing so well. And I said to you, I just said, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen? Who wins this? And you said, I still think Andy Murray will win in five. That's how much of an inevitability a fifth set, frankly,
yeah,
seemed.
Fognini served for it. The three sort of teenage blokes in front of us. I should point out, it never happens. It's going to sound like, you know, oh, you know, we're on a jolly and there are centre court tickets available to us whenever we want them. There aren't. I can't remember the last time I sat on centre court and watched any tennis as a fan.
This is the 16th Wimbledon that I have attended for BBC Radio 5 Live. I have never sat in centre court seats other than the commentary box before. Now, I should say commentary box 4-5 Live is an amazing place to watch tennis matches. I mean, it is an absolute privilege. I can't believe my luck. I will never believe my luck. But it is still completely different to step outside of those and sit in row H, as we were.
And there not be a piece of glass between you and the court and the players. And it really was something incredibly special. I was only there for the second part of set number four, but I still feel like I got the full experience. There were three teenage blokes in front of us that were cheering for their life for Fabio Fognini. I mean, to the extent that they were cheering Andy Murray double faults. And I was getting annoyed with them. I really was getting annoyed with them.
Why is that?
They were cheering his double fault. I mean, that's
it's just not great, is it? No, you shouldn't do
it. It was almost like they were being willfully contrary, which I suppose is a quality that Andy Murray would sympathise with and respect.
I would never do that.
never. But it was a wonderful experience. Fabio Fognini's forehand is something to behold. He's so casual about it. He doesn't seem to need to move his feet. It just all comes from the wrist. I don't really know what happens technically because it all happens so quickly. The motion, the racket head speed is so quick. It's incredible. And you turned to me after the match and you said it's sheer will that got Andy Murray over the line there. It was nothing to do with forehands and backhands because Fabio Fognini's forehands and backhands, certainly his forehands, were better.
Yeah, and Andy Murray, I thought, it's quite interesting, you know, you get different reads on a tennis match depending on how you watch them, in what conditions, whether you are listening to a commentator at the time, whether you are doing the commentary, I feel at least. And I came out of the match and went into our sort of studio area and I was hearing just our Five Live team wrapping up the match. I hadn't heard their commentary, but I heard one or two of them say Andy Murray will need to play a good bit better than that if he's going to make significant progress at this tournament. My feel from just being courtside without commentary was that Andy Murray played well tonight. But in the spurts that Fabio Fognini was on, he was pretty much unplayable. And yeah, Andy Murray had no say in it
at all.
Well,
Fabio Fognini's on, there's really only one person on the court, isn't there? The other person is just fades into
feeding
an irrelevance.
Feeding in balls.
However, I do have to say that Simon Briggs has joined our cabal in the press centre here. Just
about time
at the
as
side
well.
Of centre court. He's decided to make a cameo appearance.
Crikey.
And he's making faces
Day
to
five.
Suggest that on his first appearance of the Tennis Podcast this Wimbledon, he might be about to disagree with us.
Yeah, because the stats said that as they went into the late stages of the fourth set, Murray had hit two winners from the baseline. So
how do you hit winners against Fabio Fognini playing like that, though?
Well, he's fast, but, you know, the problem was for me that Murray was in that rhythmic, you can't get past me mode, rather than in the I'm going to bully you mode.
Yeah,
so he enabled...
He can't bully Fabio Fognini,
it won him
though.
The match.
It did win him the match, but it won him the match in a pretty horrendously roundabout manner.
Honestly, I personally, this is just my opinion, I don't think if Andy Murray decided to go toe-to-toe with Fabio Fognini and try and hit him off the court with winners, I think he would lose.
Don't you think that he could maybe hit more than two baseline winners by the end of the fourth set?
I've got my issues with the stats, though, because I was on a match yesterday. What was the match? It was on court number two. It involved Christina McHale and... Was it Agnieszka Radwanska? Christina McHale and Agnieszka Radwanska. And I had my question marks over the stats. And so I started compiling my own. And I was being quite... I was being over-generous on the unforced error front, and they still had a far lower total than me. I was doing this because the quality of the match was so low, I was sure there had to be even more unforced errors than
they were saying. And that's Catherine saying this with her tennis.
So, a minor footnote, I've got my issues with the stats, but...
Right. So I've wandered in and had my irrefutable evidence is taken out of my hand.
How about, though, regardless of level of play, the Andy Murray will, because that is what won in the match today, wasn't it? It is something to behold.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely mind over matter at the moment. I mean, I still think that, on the Telegraph, we ran a column with Greg Wozetsky after the first match saying, you know, look, he's hitting the ball fine, but he just still isn't fresh. And he's not moving as he would need to be... the guy who's going to win the title.
Yeah, can I just say, Simon, I mean, you've joined and not heard our story about how we, incredibly, for the first time in my 16 years, got to sit out in the open rather than in the commentary box or on the watching on the TV. We were given a couple of tickets for a set to watch, and it happened to be that fourth set. And our feeling was that Andy Murray was playing quite well. You were amongst, obviously, the rest of the media. What is the general feeling? Do you sense that it is similar to what you have just reported, that maybe wasn't what Andy Murray should be looking like at this stage if he's going to make considerable progress?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, like, in the second set, when Fognini was on the point of going into a complete spiral then, and Andy had his serve broken once, you know, and then that was the first time in the tournament it had happened. He held and then was broken a second time for two breaks in three attempts. And he wasn't making first serves. I think his first serve percentage in the second set. I'll give you another stat here, Catherine, which you're probably going to take out of my hands. It was 43%.
I believe that.
He invited the Renaissance. Well, that's a good term for Fognini, isn't it? I think you've seen chiaroscuro somewhere. That's Italian for light and dark, isn't it, in sort of... alternate patches.
I'll believe you, Simon.
I love having Simon on. I learned so much stuff. It's great.
Yeah, he's already making this podcast more highbrow than it otherwise would have been. Physically, though, Simon, I thought he looked movement-wise okay. I didn't see the whole thing. Maybe it improved as the match went on, but I didn't think there was an issue with the movement of Murray today. Do you disagree?
Well, he said that he didn't move as well as first two matches. I just didn't think that he was on the ball... as early as he would have wanted, and that might have been one reason why he wasn't getting the purchase on it that he needed.
Are we going to go back on hip watch, left hip status watch?
Absolutely. I think it's still a factor, for sure.
He plays Benoit Paire next on Monday. He's got two full days. The draw, being in the top half of the draw, will help him here because he has full Saturday and Sunday to recover, practice, whatever he wants to do.
What a motley crew that he's faced so far in this tournament. Alexander Bublik, Dustin Brown, Fabio Fognini, Benoit Paire. Crikey.
It's all the blowing hot and cold people of the ATP World Tour, isn't it? It's and Benoit Paire is just another. I actually watched most of his matchup against Jerzy Janowicz today, and student Matt, our very own student Matt, happened to be in the crowd, and we were waving at one another, me in the commentary booth, him from the stands,
in his official tennis podcast t-shirt.
A set and a half through the match, and Paire had won the first set 6-2, and it was on serve in the second, and I asked student Matt for just a little appraisal of how it went, and Matt said, well, Ben Marpez decided he cares today and he's just playing really well. Will yes. he care on Monday?
I was just thinking that if you put him and Ernest Gilbert in a lineup, you'd have a hard time working out, you know, who'd been on the desert island for longer. I mean, it certainly is a rogues gallery that...
His beard is a lot more groomed, Benoit Paire's, than Ernest Gilbert's. Benoit Paire is spending significant time in front of the mirror each morning on that beard, I guarantee you.
Well, it's definitely been interesting to write about Andy's progress so far, and he pretty guaranteed that Monday's match is not going to be dull.
No,
it's not going to be dull, certainly. I mean, I think Murray will be okay. I don't think Benoit Paire is as good as his best as Fabio Fognini.
No, I would agree with you. I think Fognini, at times today, he was a top five player for little flashes of sets. I mean, I was
every time he hit his forehand, he was
open mouthed watching what he was able to do with the racket head speed and the contacts with the, you know, standing stock still and just saying, just get away from me, Andy Murray. It's like a fly swatter.
Have you, Simon, had any time today to focus on anything besides Andy Murray, or have you been on pure Andy Murray watch?
No, I mean, I watched most of the first two British players on deck. I didn't watch the Bedenye match.
No, by all accounts. I mean, it was okay. He was a break up in the second and then got broken back. It ended up being straight sets to Gilles Muller.
Pretty much as we expected.
Yeah,
also,
exactly.
Really.
I watched Watson. I thought she played pretty well and was beaten by, you know, a player with a bit more firepower. Didn't think she did too much wrong.
Do you think Azarenka is playing herself into some form in this tournament and could be a contender?
Definitely. I think, I mean, anyone in the draw is a contender now. I mean, Rybarikova could win it, couldn't she? I mean, it's that silly.
Now that you've arrived, Simon, perhaps you can settle an argument for us, because David and I accused David of being combative last night. And
bit rich.
Alistair Regan, our Five Live colleague, walked into the green room without me being there and said, I can't believe she accused you of being combative last night. And I should point out, I'm very aware that my sort of default position is to be combative. The reason I pointed it out is because David Law's default position is just to be sort of generally delightful and crowd-pleasing and just far too nice to me. But he decided to take me on last night, so
and I'm ready for round two.
I'm well aware, listeners, that I am pretty combative, but so perhaps you can settle an argument. Simon, of the various claims that Jo Konta is a clear favourite for this title?
Yeah, I wouldn't say she's a clear favourite, but she's got as much chance as anyone in that draw. And you know, she was predatory today. That was great, because
great word
to be in that position against somebody who's a total outsider could have made her anxious, and she just seemed to be really relishing the fact that she was just completely punching the lights out of poor Sakari, wasn't she? I mean, and she seemed to be revelling in it. That was pretty good. I mean, I like that.
It was a very efficient performance, wasn't it? That was one of the words that I heard used in commentary today, and unfortunately, I can't quite remember. I've heard so much commentary today, I can't quite remember who said it, so sorry for not giving you credit if you're listening.
I wish it was me, but it wasn't.
But it wasn't David Law, I'm afraid. Somebody said that it might have even been Conchita Martinez, who Five Live had in the booth for some of Joe Conta's match with Gigi Salmon today, that she really likes that she just doesn't try to do anything too flowery. She doesn't try and be cute. She doesn't try and...
She doesn't get bored of winning the points
no,
the way she's winning
she's
them.
Happy.
She just carries on doing that.
Yeah, she doesn't sort of go, oh, this isn't very fun, I'm going to go for a tweener or a drop shot, or, you know,
drop shots occasionally. I mean, she has tried to use that forehand drop shot more,
but they're quite calculated, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that her success rate on it, well, I mean, Heather was she was in the dunces corner on the drop shot today, wasn't she?
Yeah, they were not working.
They were dreadful.
She got a revenge in the mixed doubles, though. She and Henry Kontinen beat Azarenka and Simonich, no.
Did happen, but I don't know whether you can really call that revenge.
Well, she managed to smile about it.
Yeah,
anyway.
She did.
It was all there was left
but
at that stage.
The one assessment I would have on Konta is she played today like she's played for the last 2 years most of the time, i.e. ruthlessly efficient, clinical, just no chinks.
And
no
a
chinks.
Friend of mine walked through the gates with her this morning. They happened to arrive at the same time and happened to comment to me just how relaxed she was and how she was joking and making conversation with all the security guards and the stewards and everything. And, you know, this is the first day she's experienced of walking into Wimbledon with newspaper headlines saying she's a favourite, whether it's a clear one or not, a favourite for the title here. And it seems like, on the basis of those reports and of how she played today, she's dealing with that well.
Yeah, I think it was an opponent who wasn't going to trouble her, but there was something about the whole manner of her carriage that just seemed to tell me that she was really bossing the stage and loving every minute of it. And that's what I don't always maybe see in her. And I really thought that was impressive and encouraging.
Isn't it Simona Halep next for her? Is that who she's got next? I can't remember who she's playing next. No, that's Victoria Azarenka who's playing Simona Halep next.
No, it's not Simona Halep. I do know who it is.
So,
Johanna Konta, we will find out in a minute.
I should just say, no, hold on a minute, Catherine. I think we do slightly need to hold our hands up and say that we don't understand how betting works, because a few people have come back to us and said, no, you've misunderstood the words clear favourite. All that means is that she's no longer the joint favourite with somebody. She's marginally ahead of somebody else, maybe, in the betting. The truth is, Rafael Nadal 6-5 on.
Does that mean
the
whole argument
is
completely
favorite, pointless? I mean,
can I point out that Petra Kvitova was a betting favourite at one stage before the tournament, which was equally ludicrous.
Yes.
Given that,
she was also David Law's
favourite.
As was Karolina Pliskova yours. But anyway, enough of that.
Azarenka plays Halep Garcia. It's Caroline Garcia for Jeff Konta. I think she's going to be all right, isn't she?
Garcia beat her earlier this year.
Garcia beat her in Indian Wells. But I mean, Garcia would have more variety, and I would have thought Konta would have more power through the court. As long as she returns serve well. That was the... not with fine today because Sakari has no serve. Against Vekic, you know, the return of serve was poor. She got 59% of the serves back, and that is just way too low. So that's the one concern. If she can clean that up against Garcia, who doesn't serve all that quick but has a good kick serve, unusually for the women, that is going to be... that's going to be the key. If she can get enough balls back in court, she should win.
Seeing as you've made one appearance in six podcasts so far, Simon, and we don't know when we're going to get you back on again, and you've been very punchy on the subject, I'm just going to put you right on the spot and say, is Joe Conte going to win it?
I don't think... I think fancying Azarenka, maybe, at the moment.
Really?
Really?
I'd say that's a bolder prediction than Conte.
Well, just because she's done it before. I mean, if you look at the field...
Not here,
but she's done it before in a major. I mean,
there's only Venus left in the draw that's done it before here.
She could win it.
You commentated Venus today. What did you make of it?
She was excellent today.
Venus could win it.
It felt like the fog cleared today. You know, I mean, obviously we know what she's been dealing with, and she was dialed in today. Very good.
Just to mop up a few other results, Nadal got through in straight sets against Khachanov. Could have gone to four. I think Khachanov had set points in that third set.
And yeah, I never felt he would.
I really didn't.
I still feel like... I mean, Khachanov had to play
Khachanov,
to the... Khachanov.
I thought I heard a rogue. I thought I heard a rogue.
No, you didn't.
Sorry.
I retract
my combativeness.
I still feel that Nadal was absolutely top draw today, and I think he's been the best player in the draw so far.
Yeah,
Simon Briggs has got to go
title.
And write stuff, haven't you?
Andy's going to come in at 2:15, which is right about now. But they did announce it. Can you hear it out here?
Oh yes, we can.
You can probably hear it on the podcast. I think Rafa's been the best player so far, but. I was just thinking that in Australia, Roger didn't really hit his stride till the third round. So I'm still
he's quite good, isn't he?
I'm still giving latent improvement ability to Roger.
He plays Misha Zverev tomorrow. How's he going to do?
Well, Misha Zverev can't hurt him unless something really weird happens out there. I mean, Misha Zverev has not got anything to bother him at all.
Can Gulbis hurt Djokovic? Gulbis, who gave a really good interview to the ATP World Tour website earlier, that interview, I think it's in video form, will be up on their website tonight, so I've been given license to quote a few things. He's saying this is the most motivated he's ever been in his career. I didn't ask him, he was asked about the technical changes to his forehand, and his coach, actually, it was his coach that said that the reason he wanted to change his forehand is because he was fed up with being laughed at by the other players for his forehand. It was a subject of mockery. And he just—it wasn't one big change. He said he's made a few minor technical changes that have led to it being basically completely remodeled, because he was fed up with it being a subject of ridicule.
And so it should have been. I mean, quite frankly, but I saw Ernest Gorbis in his previous round. I was on that match against Del Potro. He was fantastic, and that fits with what I saw. The description that is the most motivated he's ever been. Usually he sort of just swans around the court looking as though he's not quite sure whether he can be doing with all of this tennis lark, but he was really up for it in that match. I was highly impressed. If he can play like that against Djokovic, he can push him. He can push him for sure.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that's the match to watch tomorrow. Radvanska, Bashinski, I think Radvanska will come through. Any upsets you see on the cards there? I'm holding up the order of play to Simon. We try and do an upset alert, don't we? Dominic Thiem's locked out with the draw a bit. All due respect to Jared Donaldson.
Sorry.
But that's a good third rounder.
Jared Donaldson is a really, really spectacular player and a real talent. I think he won't beat Dominic Thiem. But what I was going to say is...
Right, OK. Good point, well made.
It's not a bad draw, but my goodness, that guy can hit the ball hard.
He can.
Dominic Thiem, though, I think we need to give him a bit of credit for having got to this point, because I think two rounds in a row we've thought maybe he could get beaten, and he hasn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's surprised himself. I think he came in here with zero expectations. This is a guy that lost second round to the world number 260-something in Anatolia.
And Jared Donaldson, by the way, coached by Jan-Michael Gamble, former quarter-finalist here at Wimbledon. And Donaldson, very, very nice fella. We've met him a few times at Queen's. Really
he
nice
is
player.
A nice fella. What do you think about Kerber, Kisteya Muguruza? I think that's OK. Who's Kerber got? She's always on her upset alert.
Shelby Rogers, yeah, exactly.
She's a mainstay of upset alerts.
But there are no upsets
in that one. Really, reusable tweet, as some people say.
Well, yeah, exactly. Do you endorse that there are no upsets in the women's tournament? Nothing counts as an upset. Yeah, I think Kontaveit could beat Wozniacki tomorrow. I really like Kontaveit.
Yeah, very good player.
Possibly. I mean,
but I love all this.
Ostapenko can win it, can't she? I mean,
yes.
Yeah, beat Georgie today. Great win.
Seven,
I'm
five,
disappointed
seven,
I didn't get to see any of that.
UFC tennis, as I've called it. Between those
imagine
two.
If Ostapenko won back-to-back slams.
She's going to go and win. She's going to go and hold all four this time next year.
So bonkers.
Imagine if you'd have said that. You know, that she was... Well, I'm getting carried
away.
What
about Yelena Ostapenko and Dudi Seller for the titles?
Dudi Seller, who...
Well, the point is that the two draws are mirror images, aren't they? Because one of them, we're almost certain that the big four will be in the semi-finals. And the other one, we're almost certain that we've got no idea what we're certain about.
Dudi Seller, who beat John Isner. I mean, that's fantastic, isn't it?
I haven't seen any pictures of them at the net.
I've seen the picture.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. There's a really good, rather... pantomime type photo that they've had at the net before the match, and I mean, Isner is a good foot and a half taller than Dudi Seller, who beat him in five sets on grass.
The best potential story left in the draw is Sebastian Offner of Austria, who was two sets love down in the final round of qualies to Jay Clark, the young Brit, and has now got a third round match against Alexander Zverev.
Offner for the title.
Two Zverevs, and they're going to be playing at the same time tomorrow, the two Zverevs.
Right.
It really is all happening.
You are getting carried away now, guys.
I love getting carried away. It's my favourite thing
to do.
You've
been on the laughing gas again.
Have you got any other business, Simon, before we let you go? Any other business?
I don't know. I'm worrying that I've missed Andy's description of how tough it was.
You wouldn't be able to miss the stampede of journalists that we see leaving the press room to go to the interview room. Why are you laughing, David?
Just Simon just basically quoting exactly what Andy will say, because that's what he always says.
The first three words of every answer are, I don't know. And then in the next five words, the word tough invariably appears.
And then the next sort of 2 minutes, which is what he normally talks for, because his answers are usually good, are absolutely spellbinding.
He has to clear his throat by saying, I don't know, and then throwing a tough in there, and then he gets going.
Well, you don't need to go to the press conference then. Just write out the transcript yourself.
Well, you could miss the first 10 seconds, because that's the bit that's not that interesting.
He does give you stuff to write.
No, he's great. I mean, you know, we owe Andy a lot for not only giving us unbelievable matches like tonight's one to write about, but consistently being incredibly articulate and insightful and surprising a lot of the time on the big issues. So I'm not really complaining. I'm just talking about his mannerisms, which are, you know, which are familiar to us all, I think.
Yeah, we absolutely agree. I've got one bit of any other business while we're on the subject of Murray's. Jamie Murray lost in the doubles today with Bruno Suarez.
Yes.
In five sets, he was 2-1 up. It's a tough draw, Lindstedt and Groth in the first round, but nonetheless, I spoke to Jamie off the practice courts last week and he was fresh from winning Queens and I was expecting a really bubbly, light Jamie feeling very bullish about his chances and he seemed stressed to me. I think he puts pressure on himself here to do well.
It's understandable if he does. I share that. We knew something was up when we realised Judy Murray wasn't watching Andy Murray, didn't we? And we had a quick look at the live scores and then realised, oh goodness, fifth set and he's out.
And I wonder, do you think Andy would have noticed that Judy wasn't there and would have been trying to make deductions in his mind about why?
No, I wouldn't have.
Because he would have known what time Jamie's match had started. I don't know, maybe he's just so dialed in, he's not thinking like that. But that's what my mind would do.
I mean, they have won back-to-back grass court titles, haven't they, Murray and Suarez?
Yeah, that's going to hurt them. Really hurt.
Andy Murray is in the main interview room immediately.
Immediately, Simon. Immediately. Right. Off you go. Join the stampede.
Thank you.
In line for the stampede.
Yeah, he's not moving very quickly, is he? I tell you, he's a bit nonchalant.
And now he's faking a left hip limp.
He's doing an Andy Murray limp. He's actually doing it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
One last bit of business, David, which we probably should have done while Simon was here because he's the Telegraph's tennis correspondent. But alas, off he goes to the Andy Murray press conference. Next time, IBM Watson, this is my big opportunity to say artificial intelligence platform, which is what the Telegraph are using this Wimbledon to help them analyse tennis, really. Analyse current tennis, analyse past tennis, just generally give them an extra level of statistical analysis. Today, the topic of debate is the greatest ever servers. Now, IBM Watson says the greatest ever server is Goran Ivanišević. Discuss.
Well, it's hard to argue, isn't it? I remember when he reached the final of Wimbledon in 1992, I think he served something like 200 aces in a single week. I mean, this guy has broken all the records at times for his serve. And you know, talking to him in our commentary box, he would say, you know, the more nervous I'd get, the more I'd go for it. And that came out. It was a spellbinding serve in that way.
Do you think, and that is something that IBM Watson has taken into account, which I think is important. It's when you serve the aces.
Yeah.
It's not just about the numbers.
Same time.
It's not
though.
About aces per set or per game ratio. It is when you serve them, and that is crucial.
But he does not have the best second serve in the world.
True.
Or of all
it's
time.
It's like Venus
Pete
Williams.
Sampras does.
Arguably the best first serve in women's tennis, but one of the weaker second serves. I mean, where Naomi Osaka was standing about 2 metres inside the baseline today to receive the Venus Williams second serve. I mean, she wasn't far from the baseline receiving the first serve, even though it was a pretty aggressive tactic. Just interestingly, one final thing, and there are so many names we could throw into this debate, so I really think you should just tweet with the hashtag what makes great for your views at home listening on the greatest servers of all time, because I'm quite sure there are probably about 100 different names that could be thrown in there. Karlovic, Isner, of current players, Andy Roddick I think could be in there, Sampras, Becker. I mean, the guy had the nickname Boom Boom. How can he not be in the discussion? But Marion Bartoli came fourth on the list, according to IBM Watson. I'm not saying she wasn't a great player and a good server, but
it wouldn't
have sprung to my mind. No. I mean, she's in there. She's the top female player. She's in there ahead of Serena Williams.
But that's
and
interesting,
there,
isn't it?
There are stats and maths to back it up.
Nerdy math would have a field day.
Nerdy math would and will have a field day with it. But yeah, throw in your shouts for greatest female servers of all time as well, and current ones. I think there's sort of two separate debates we had. So hashtag what makes great. If you want to see the data and how it's broken down, you go to ibm.com/Wimbledon. If you want to see what the Telegraph is doing with the data and how they're analysing it, go to the Telegraph website. And just go to the Telegraph website anyway, because Simon is toiling away. He's working so hard. He's only had time to appear on our dear little podcast once this week. So do make sure you check out what on earth he's been doing that's been keeping him away from the podcast. Not that we're bitter at all. Anyway, we will be back tomorrow, of course, with podcast number 6. We've done 5 plus a preview, which means we've got 9 to go.
It's good, isn't it?
9 whole podcasts coming your way. This has been the Tennis Podcast on day 5 of Wimbledon 2017. David Law, thank you very much. I'm pleased that we managed not to be too combative tonight.
No, but we'll be having a good argument after this, I'm sure.
I'm sure we will. We'll be back tomorrow. We've been brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. Speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.